to God. First of all, I want to give honor to the Copeland, KCM, the family, all of them for the honor and privilege to stand before you today and share the word of God with you. Don't take it for granted. I've known Brother Copeland for well over 40 years, and he and Gloria have been a tremendous blessing to our life, just like all of you. Our life, our ministry, our children's lives, our grandchildren's lives. Praise God, what a blessing it is. Amen?
Amen.
You ready to get into the Word?
Yes.
Stand back up then. Praise God. Lift your Bible up in the air, please, and say this along with me. This is what I do everywhere I go. Say this with me. This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
The Bible is God speaking to me. The Bible is the truth. It instructs me what to believe, what to think, how to think, what to speak, how to live, how to have victory, and also in it is the path to eternal life. Hallelujah. Father, once again, we humbly come before the Word of God. It's a lamp unto our feet and light unto our path. You declare that man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out your mouth. And we're grateful for the Spirit of truth, Spirit of grace himself, the Holy Ghost. You are the great teacher and instructor. So once again, we ask you would open the eyes of our understanding that we may come and know even more clearly your will, so that we can walk worthy unto you, unto all pleasing. Be fruitful in every good work and increase in the knowledge of God. Strengthen what all might according to your glorious power. Father, for whatever is manifest, we give you all the praise, glory, and honor. All we ask in the holy, mighty, matchless, and highest authority of all, Jesus of Nazareth. And by his precious blood, everyone in agreement with this prayer said,
Amen.
As you're seated, open your Bibles to 1 John chapter 5, please. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'm going to talk to you about three words. Gracious or slash graciousness, because they're extremely close. Mercy and grace. Gracious, mercy, and grace. The reason why a lot of times these words are commingled, and people treat them as though they're interchangeable and that they're the same thing, and they are not. And because they are not, praise God, sometimes people then get the wrong understanding about some things. So we want to share some things with you. But let's read 1 John chapter 5, and let's begin reading here with verse 6. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. And if you got one of those Bibles you write in, Dad Hagin used to say, you got one of the Bibles you can't write in, throw it away and get one you can. Praise God. Amen. Underline that word is. See, the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven. Martoreos, that Greek word. Praise God. What are they? Three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, we know the Lord Jesus, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one, and there are three that bear witness, same Greek word, in earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood. These three agree in one, praise God. Now let me just go to Webster's Dictionary. I like the 1828 edition. I'm a Rhema graduate, 1978, when Rhema was pretty much a brand new school. Hallelujah. 9-month course back in those days. God, amen. Dad Hagin should talk about Webster Dictionary 1828. So he used it. I said, it's good enough for Dad Hagin. It's good enough for me. And it says here, praise the Lord, that the Webster's Dictionary for gracious is a person that has an attitude that is kind, friendly, benevolent, courteous, considerate toward others, and thoughtful. Now turn to Psalm 103. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. The 103rd Psalm, and you'll see that, praise God, There are some similarities with some of this. Psalm 103, and let's read here, we're verse 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. Well, first of all, it tells us here that the Lord is gracious, hanun, praise God, hallelujah, and it's very close to that Webster's dictionary in this case. And it also says, praise God, that he is full of mercy. And that word mercy is the word hased. Amen. Now, I want you to notice there are two different Hebrew words here for gracious and mercy. And the reason why they're two different Hebrew words is because they are not the same thing. That's the theme we can kind of look at a little bit here. Praise God. But let's go to mercy for a moment. Again, if you look at Webster's Dictionary for mercy, it says, this person has compassion for the guilty, will treat an offender better than he deserves, is willing to forbear punishment or inflict less than justice deserves. Now turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Can I get three hallelujahs, please? One for the Father, one for the Son, and one for the Holy Ghost. I might as well tell you, because I've been watching how y'all been doing, Brother Copeland. And y'all been so quiet with Brother Copeland, man. He done said something about it a couple of times, man. So now y'all understand, I'm African American. In churches where I grew up in, somebody's always saying something. I mean, somebody's saying, hallelujah, glory to God, praise the Lord. They even say, shut up. I mean, but somebody going to say something. I'm not used to quiet churches. I ain't going to start with you either. I preach in Europe. I get Russians and other people to say hallelujah. So I know I'm going to get y'all to do it. Come on, somebody. So give me three hallelujahs. Amen. One for the Father, one for the Son, one for the Holy Ghost. Praise God. All right, so we see here in verse 16 of Hebrews chapter 4. Let us therefore come parsia, I mean come boldly, unashamedly, unto the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy. That word is eleos. Eleos means someone who has compassion, a heart that's tender for somebody who's in distress or somebody who is suffering because of infirmities of some type, so that we may get or obtain mercy and find grace, charis. United States, they'll call it charis. I have my headquarters in Europe is in Athens. The Greek to tell you is charis. I don't care if it's charis or charis. It's what it means that matters to me, right? Amen. And of course, that's the word typically that we talk about grace. So again, mercy, grace, because I'm going to find grace in a minute. But mercy and grace are not the same thing. And he says here, you will find it after you get the mercy. You will find grace to, praise God, voathia. That's the word help. Voathia means to frap a ship or a boat. What is that? Well, you know, when a boat is out in the water and they're trying to get it to shore, okay, they can get it close to shore, but it's going to need some assistance. So what do? They throw out a rope or a chain.
That's good.
Then they bring them in to shore, see? The context of this talks about that Jesus was an individual, although he was tempted in all points like we are, yet without sin. Praise God. And so, but he understands us because he's been there. He understands what we are like. Praise God. But we are the ones that miss it, and he's telling us, but you can come unashamedly, come boldly to the throne of Harris. I'll get to that in a minute. And find grace to bring you back to shore. And you trying to get there, man, and you trying, but then you get a little extra assistance that's going to finally bring you in. Can I get a praise the Lord, somebody? Amen. Praise God. Now, let's talk about that word harvest for a minute. And there's three things that particularly I think we need to remind ourselves about. First of all, you know, there's a theological term called dispensations. And what dispensations is a period of time when someone is the one that's, and we wouldn't say in charge, but it's a period of time whereby somebody's a little bit more out front than the other. So mainly in the Old Testament, who is it that's kind of leading the charge? It's God the Father, Jehovah. Now, of course, obviously, Jesus was in the Old Testament. The Holy Ghost is in the Old Testament. The Bible said holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Right? So Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. But the one that mainly out front, when you read all the stuff that's happening, is the Father. Then you have a very short period of time. It's very short, 33 years, but man, it changed everything. And that was the Lord Jesus. Praise God. Amen. Thank God for Jesus. It changed everything about everything. And man, I mean the law, I mean everything. It changed it, right? And then Jesus said, I'm going away, John 14. And I'm going to send you another comforter. Because while I'm here with you, I was your comforter, right? I took care of you. I made sure you were fed. I made sure you were protected, all that. But I'm about to leave, and I'm going to send you another one that will abide with you forever, even the spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not, neither knows him. You know him. He'll sure be with you and shall be in you. Okay, amen. And that's what Peter was preaching about in Acts chapter 2, right? He talks about that famous message. That was by the prophet Joel. My spirit shall be upon all flesh. Your young men shall see visions, dream, old men dream dreams, and on the handmaids and so forth and so on. He's talking about the age of the next comforter, the Holy Ghost. And so now for about 2,000 years, obviously the Father's involved. Obviously, Jesus is involved, but the one that has been the lead, so to speak, if I can use that terminology, has been now the Holy Spirit, has been the Holy Ghost. Jesus sat down at the right hand of the Father, expecting his enemies to be made the footrest, amen, because the church will do his work for him in the earth. Ephesians chapter 1, the church which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all, verse 22 and verse 23 over there, which means what? We complete the work of Jesus in the earth. How in the world can we do that? We can only do that because we have the same equipment. Acts 10:38, Brother Copeland referenced something that I showed him. That he heard me preach one time. It says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost. In Greek there, it's kind of okay, depending on what U.S. you're talking to Greek. But it means, praise God, a whatsoever or, praise God. What it's telling you is that it's just not the Holy Ghost on one side and power over here. Yeah, amen. Yeah. He said, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost, which is the power. There ain't separate power than the Holy Ghost. How many know the Holy Ghost is the power? And the power is the Holy Ghost. That power, dunamis, also called, that power now is what's in us and what's on us. Now, this is critical because you need to understand what time we live in, who's driving what. Okay, amen. Praise God. Give me three. Praise the Lord, somebody. And see, y'all catching on pretty good, all right? Well, there are a lot of names. There's well over 20 names for God the Father in the Old Testament, right? There's well past 25 names for Jesus. There are a number of names also to describe the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. I mean, he's called Comforter. He's called Advocate. He's called Helper, Spirit of Christ, Spirit of Truth, and many other names. Now turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. In Hebrews chapter 10, Brother Copeland went by this a little bit this morning. I thought he was going to start preaching my message and then I was going to be well. But he didn't get too far with it, thank God. He said, he left some for me. He said in verse 29, of how much sore punishment suppose ye? Shall he be who thought worthy of trodden under foot the Son of God, have counted the blood of the covenant, talking about somebody who's been born again, whereof he was sanctified, or set apart, as an unholy thing, and hath done despite, which means he has insulted the Spirit of grace. So grace is not just some nebula, something floating around. It's not just the power that comes on us to help us be a little bit more than what we do in the natural. It goes further than that. You can't insult a phenomenon. You can only insult a person. And one of the names of the Holy Ghost, he's the Spirit of Horus. He is the Spirit of grace. I guess so. It's his time. He's the one through which you can insult. And he's the one that helps you and guides you and reveals to you and all of that. Praise God. Thank God for him. Amen. There are only two places in the Bible when it uses that term, by the way, Spirit of grace. The other one's in Zechariah. Zechariah 12:10. And it said, praise the Lord, that's at the end of things when the Jewish race will then recognize and see that Jesus is the Messiah. And it said that they will mourn because God will pour out the Spirit of grace unto them so that they could see it. Are you listening to me? And so, praise God. Spirit of grace. Grace is the Holy Ghost. Now, turn to Ephesians chapter 3. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In Ephesians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul says in verse 1, I'm the prisoner of Jesus Christ for the Gentiles. You've heard of the dispensation, there's that word, of the grace of God given me to you. So he's writing to Gentiles. Remember now who Paul is. Paul is an Orthodox Jew. He looked like one. So he's got the phylacteries on, man. I mean, he's got the whole nine yards on him. Highly educated man. Probably trained to be high priest one day. I mean, the guy is clearly brilliant, right? That's why God chose him. Yeah, amen. So can you see this guy, this Orthodox Jew, going into places of Gentiles, looking like he looks, talking the way he speaks, even though he spoke multiple languages? Yeah, amen. In other words, he's somebody that don't necessarily fit the culture, right? God's got a sense of humor, you know. God is sending you places you would never go. Praise God. Hallelujah. He done that with me, man. He'll send you to people you would never go. You know you cannot fit. Praise the Lord. But he said there is a grace of God, and we'll talk about that word in just a minute, given me with all of my who I am, that will work with you. Continue. Praise God. He goes on to verse 7, whereof I was made a minister by that grace, according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given, praise God, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Just about any minister I know will tell you what he just said. He just said, God gave me an anointing. Right?
Yes, sir.
He's anointed to go to this people group. You mean tell me the grace of God's the anointing? Yeah.
That's good.
Yes, sir.
It's the anointing.
Yes, sir.
Praise God. It will allow you to do things you cannot do yourself.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. And that wasn't even Paul's heart. Paul said in Romans 10:1, my heart's desire is that Israel be saved. Amen. You know, in that verse, he don't even mention Gentiles. And even though his primary calling, and God did tell him, you're going to go to the Jews sometime, but his primary calling was to the Gentiles. But every time Paul went somewhere, what's the first place Paul went? He went to the synagogue. He went to where the Jews are. Huh? And see, we kind of like that. You know, I want to minister to all women. I want to minister to all men. I want to minister to all blacks, whites, Asians, whatever it is. We get some identification. Except the problem with God is you go where I tell you. I will help you. You let me decide. You don't decide that. Amen. You don't, praise God, follow whatever it is your ambition. You follow your assignment.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. And so, amen. He doesn't really want to do this, but God's calling him to do it. So eventually he'll get his heart right and he'll begin to do it. This is the anointing. Praise God. That power. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Y'all don't got quiet now. Somebody should say something. Yeah, amen. No, I ain't going to let you be quiet now. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. We all know this story too. Praise the Lord. Amen. He's going to have a messenger of Satan, demon spirit, sent to slap Paul repeatedly. Paul says in verse 8, for that thing I besought the Lord. He said this. He's talking about that specifically. That thing I sought the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And God said to him, my grace is enough. It's sufficient for you for my strength. He calls the grace of God, the strength of God. It's made complete in your inability. And Paul goes, yeah, that's right. Most gladly, therefore, would I rather glory in my lack of strength, that power, that word power there is dunamis. So dunamis, supernatural ability, power, praise God, strength, glory to God. All of that's the same. That power of Christos, Christ, may rest upon me. So because of that, I think well on infirmities and reproaches, necessities, persecutions, distresses for Christ's sake. The word sake is the word over me. It's the word over. For when I am weak, then I am powerful and capable. Now, Jesus' ministry was built on two pillars. Turn to St. John chapter 1 and I'll show you. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. St. John chapter 1, verse 14, the word that's Jesus was made flesh, dwelt among us. We saw his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full, and the word full here is the Greek word, pleres, means to be covered over. He's covered over with two things. He's covered over with grace, and he's covered over with truth. The two pillars that hold up his ministry. Right? Well, praise God. What did Jesus say in John 14, 17? He said the Holy Ghost is called the Spirit of truth. And he said in John 17, 17, thy word is truth. So the first pillar that held up Jesus' ministry was the word of God. But the second pillar that held up his ministry was the Spirit of grace. He's what all of our churches strive to be. Have the Word and the Spirit. Some churches have nothing but Word, no Spirit. Boring. Some have all Spirit, no Word. Messed up. Amen. What you're striving is to have that balance between the Word and the Spirit. And these are the two pillars that held up Jesus' ministry. He's anointed with the Spirit of grace, and praise God. Guess where the word comes from anyway? The word comes from holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, Spirit of grace. Amen. So in other words, the anointing, grace of God is a person. He is the Spirit of God. Amen. Romans 8:9 says that if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you're none of him. Now, where did all this confusion come from? Well, turn to Romans chapter 6. Let me see if I can clear something up for y'all. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I heard a praise of the Lord in the front. Glory to God. Thank you. Glory to God. Romans 6:1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. So what people do is link sin with grace. Okay, amen. Except I'd ask you a question. If you walked up to somebody and you've been talking to somebody for a while and you say, well, so by the way, what shall we say to what we've been talking about? What shall we say then means that we've been having a discussion. You don't start with what shall we say then, right? I don't come up to you, praise God, and start with the conversation with, and I was in the hotel such and such. I said, what? We need to have a little more background. So where does he actually start his conversation? Well, turn to chapter 3. Let's see. Amen. Let's go back and see where he started talking and see what he said. Thank you, Jesus. Now, so in Romans chapter 3, praise God. I think I'll pick up so I can get this page turn. All right. Let's pick up here with verse 5. But if our unrighteousness, you know, that's bad stuff, right? If our sinning, if our messing up. If our unrighteousness come in, the word come in means introduces. Paul asks, if it introduces the righteousness of God, what are we going to say to that? Is God unrighteous to take wrath against us? In other words, he said, if by us going out and sinning, then that produces where God's concerned, he's happy with that, then why would God judge us about that? Read the next verse. He said, God forbid, for then how shall God judge the world if he does that? If the truth of God have more increased through my lying unto his glory, so then why judge me as a sinner? And not rather, as we be slanderously reported, the word slanderously, blasphemous. That means an individual, you have defamed me. You blaspheming me when you say this. Praise God. As we has been slanderously blasphemed, and as some affirm, some say, this is what we say. Some people say, this is what I teach. That we say, let us do evil, that good may come whose damnation is just. God forbid. Now, if you understand that's where he started with that, then you would get chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. And all the stuff between them, you see. Praise God. And it's important that you read, because the Bible, these are letters. And you don't start off a letter with just a couple words of paragraph number 6. My, it's getting quiet in here. Praise the Lord. All right. No. The thing for sure we must understand, praise God, is that grace is not some extraordinary after you get saved cleansing agent that cleanses you somehow. All right, now. What's the requirement then for these different words I started out with? I mean, if you start out with gracious, what requirement do I need to have before God in order for God to be gracious to me? Nothing. That's the way God is. God's just that way to us. He just is gracious. Hallelujah! Hallelujah. Praise the Lord! Yeah. Amen. Well, how about mercy? Oh, but mercy is different in the New Testament. Mercy, we already read Hebrews 4:16. The first word was what? Come. Come, Parsia, come boldly to the throne of grace. 1 John 1:9. Praise God. If we, homologia, right? If we acknowledge our sin, you got to come for that. God is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, but you got to come. How about Hebrews, praise God, chapter 10? Homologeo, yeah, that's right, confess, acknowledge. Praise God. Hebrews chapter 10. And let's take a look here in verse 25. Paul's writing to what? Hebrew Christians. He's writing to Christians, right? He says in verse 25, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. Exhort one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. It means that you should go to church more, not less. Hallelujah. The closer we get to the coming. For if we sin voluntarily, that's the word willfully. If we voluntarily sin, after you have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. Jesus is not getting on the cross a second time for your new batch. Right? Verse 27 said, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries, he that despised or cast off even Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be who thought worthy, trodden underfoot the Son of God, and count the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified unholy thing and had done insult to the Spirit of grace. And granted, notice who the insult is to. It's to the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah. So now then, we have to come boldly. Now turn to Ephesians chapter 2. I'm going through all this setup for a reason. I'm coming to a punchline in a minute. Y'all going to hang on with me for a little while? I know you're all Bible scholars and all of that. So I'm just doing some stuff I know you know. Hallelujah. But I'm doing a little setup here, right? Can I get three praise the Lord, somebody? Here's one I know you know. Ephesians 2:8. For by grace are ye saved, sozo. Sozo means what? Praise God. Grace, are you delivered? Grace, are you protected? Grace, are you healed? Are you preserved? How you are made whole? How you are made sound? For by grace are ye saved, dias, the word door, and that's a channel of pistis, faith. Praise God. Let's break that down a little bit. It was the Holy Ghost when you did Romans 10:8-9. 10:8 said, Paul said, the word of faith which I preach. Verse 9, that if thou shalt acknowledge with your mouth Jesus as Lord, shall believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with your heart man believes on the righteousness, with the mouth acknowledgement is made unto your own salvation. 13 says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What happened when you did that? It was the Holy Ghost who came and recreated you. He killed the old you and made you a 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away. Look, the fresh and the new has come. It was the Holy Ghost who regenerated you. It's the Holy Ghost who calls you. It's the Holy Ghost who anoints you. And one of his names is grace. That's what grace does for you. But notice what sparks it. Faith. Even to get born again, you had to believe Jesus was the Son of God. You had to believe he was raised from the dead. Praise God, in order for grace to be released to do his job. Okay, amen. Now, faith has five elements: hearing, receiving, believing, speaking, and acting. In order to have a faith action. Praise God. Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing and hearing. Amen. There's a hearing with the heart as well as the ear. Yes. Receiving, James 1:21. Receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. Yes. Why receiving? Because you can hear the word and reject it. Yeah. You can hear it and go, no. Yeah. Amen. So you have to make a decision to receive. Then you can believe once you make that decision. Right. So many verses don't believe in. And then speaking, tons of them. Praise God. And the one people had the most trouble in is that James 1:22. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. Right? So it's hearing, receiving, believing, speaking, and acting. So by then, the power of the Holy Ghost and his manifestation, were you healed or will be healed, going to have some manifestation, delivered, made sound, made whole. Praise God. How? Through the channel of your hearing from God, receiving from God, speaking what God said, believing what God said, and acting like it's so. That's how deliverance comes to you. Okay, amen. All through a power, the power of grace. Now, okay, amen. Romans 10:9-10 then tells us what? That faith allows you to receive what mercy has made available to you through the shed blood of Jesus. See, now we're Hebrews 10:38. The just, those who have been declared righteous, shall live by faith. The just don't live by mercy. We live by faith. Mercy is available. Amen. In fact, mercy always comes before grace. Hallelujah. But we don't live by mercy. You ain't supposed to do that. You're supposed to live by faith. Thank God for the mercy of God. There is a day when the mercy can run out. Y'all know that? You can continue on and continue on and continue on and continue on and continue on. God will warn. God always warns. He'll send people to you. He'll send situations to you. He'll do all kinds of things. But there is a day where you can decide, well, I'm just going to do what I want to do. And God says, you want it? You got it. Amen. I trust none of us are that dumb. Tell your neighbor, you ain't that dumb, are you? Now let me get down to where I want to go. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Amen. Praise God. Now understand this letter of Paul. Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, southwest, that's pretty much southwest Greece. I have a church in Athens. Amen. So, and he's going to write them about what he saw happen in Macedonia. Now, Macedonia is northeast of that, and Macedonia consists of three particular areas. Philippi, okay, Philippians, Thessalonica, and Berea. Okay, the distance between those three is about 120 miles. And then south of that is going to be Corinth. So he's going to report to the church at Corinth what I saw when I was in Macedonia. Okay? All right, so let's go back and let's take a look here. Oh, at verse 5. Paul says, "For when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest. But we were troubled on every side. Outside or without outside. Outside were fightings. Inside were fears. Nevertheless, God that comfort those that are cast down comforted us by the coming of Titus." Titus came, praise God, and helped him out. But I want you to notice what he said here. He said, "When I came to Macedonia, that was rough. That was tough. That was a rough place, period." Then we get to chapter 8, verse 1. "Moreover, brethren," now the word "moreover" is the word "also," right? "So also, brethren, we to you to wit, I want you to know about the grace of God granted." It's the word "bestow." Poured out upon. I want you to know about the grace of God granted on the churches of Macedonia. So he said the grace of God, amen, was granted, put upon a number of churches 125 miles apart at the same time. In other words, he said that the grace of God, and we'll find out in what application of the grace of God, praise God, could fall on all the churches in Missouri. That's what you're talking about here. You're talking about a huge region whereby the Holy Ghost is going to do something on a number of churches that are in a very rough region that even the Apostle Paul said, this place is rough. Get it? Keep reading. "How that in a great is a descriptive term, right? You can say trial of affliction, but when you say great, okay, you're talking about this is a massive amount. There's a great trial of telepsis, of tribulation, the abundance or overabundance of their joy." Their first response, those churches, to the abundance of tribulation, to all that trouble, was the joy of the Lord. That's James going to talk about it later on. He can, praise God. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse tests and trials. So the first thing is, you might live in a rough place. You might be in a rough situation watching me around the world someplace. Amen. The first thing you got to do is decide, I'm not going to let the devil steal my joy. Amen. Say ha ha three times, somebody. Ha ha. I'm not going to let the devil steal my joy. And that's not bad enough how bad these tribulations are. They're deep poverty. Now, there's poverty. But when the description is deep, I mean, that's not even Paul, that's Paul. I mean, you in real trouble, right? What happened to them? Now, what we're about to read is because the grace of God came on them. Notice what it did. It increased unto the wealth of their liberality. When that grace of God came on them, again, that word bestowed, did on me, means to bring forth something, to commit something. Amen. Grant something. Praise the Lord. Amen. Guess what happened? They were moved to give when they had nothing to give. They were moved to give when everything was going wrong. They were moved to give under the toughest circumstances. Praise the Lord. How anybody remember Buddy Harrison? Only a few of you knew Buddy. Brother Colvin mentioned him today too, this morning. That's Kenneth Hagin's son-in-law. When I was a student, they opened the church that January when I was a student. Praise God. Buddy did. When I went to Bible school, my wife and I went in much debt. I was working for IBM, and I was praying, though, about what God wanted me to do with my ministry. I was new minister. And under the table, the Lord told me to quit my job, go down 1,000 miles away and go to Bible school, some Bible school at the time nobody ever heard of. Unaccredited thing in only 9 months. And the Lord told me to do that. And everybody around me and my family, everybody said I was a stupid, you know. Especially leaving IBM. At that time, Big Blue was serious business back in those days. Back in those days, you know. And so, but I obeyed God, went down there. So we didn't have nothing. I mean, we didn't have nothing. My wife put cheap earrings in the offering basket. I put pencils in there. You get deep poverty. So we went to church, went to that church. I think the church was 3 weeks old, sat all the way in the back. Now, I've been ordained, however, since I was 18 years old. I've been in the ministry 51 years. So, praise God. But he's right in the middle of the message. He said, the Lord said there are 5 ordained ministers in here. Come up here. Well, I'm 1 in 5. So I come up, praise God, and they put me in the middle. And they put 2 over here and 2 over here. Then he said, the Lord said, fill their buckets up with money. Now, I'm from a denominational background. I had never seen nothing like that. Never heard nothing like that. I probably thought if you saw my eyes, it probably looked like that. I mean, it was like, what did he say? And then they put Kentucky Fried Chicken buckets in our hands. Y'all remember the 21-piece chicken buckets? Not the 21 piece back in the day, the big ones. They put the big ones in our hands. The congregation got up and they started finding this way to us, but most of them found their way to the darkest one. Hallelujah. In the middle, praise the Lord. Amen. You know, people lay on the beach to look like me. I must be beautiful, right? I mean, So most of the people made their way to me, and they put them dollars in. I mean, it was a soft offering. It wasn't cling, it was dollars. and over the lid, the crested over the lid. Then he told us about, you know, you're supposed to tie and all that, but he's giving instructions. He says, it's yours now. Go take it back to your seat. So now again, like we ain't got nothing. Okay, we just obeyed God and we got all this debt and everything. So my seat's all the way in the back. And so I'm going to drop a dollar, man. I mean, I must have crab walked all the way back, man. I wasn't dropping nothing. To make a long story short, something happened to me and her every 30 or 45 days while we were in school. When we graduated, all of our bills were paid off supernaturally. We went into the ministry debt free. I'm still debt free in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Now, I want you to understand what these people did. When the grace of God comes on, something's going to happen because the grace of God deals with hearts. Just keep reading. The wealth of their generosity, for to their dunamis, their supernatural power. This is not something they just did. There was something that moved them, all those churches. For their power, I bear record, yea, beyond their dunamis, beyond their supernatural ability, they were willing. Ooh, underline that word, willing. Of themselves, praying us with much exhortation that we should receive, and the word gift here is the word for grace. We should receive the charis. We should receive the grace of God and take upon us the fellowship or participation of ministering to the saints. And they did that. Not as we expected, Paul said. It went way past anything I've ever seen. But first, they gave their own selves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. That's how this happened. Praise God. Amen. Grace of God moved upon them in their just terrible situation and terrible place. Why? Because God wanted to get them out this mess supernaturally. And so what Paul is doing is writing the church of Corinth and telling Corinth about, he's bragging about what happened when I was in that terrible place in Macedonia. So you get over to chapter 9, get over there quick. That clock's going too fast. Wow. Okay. Chapter 9. He said, verse 1, for as touching the ministry to the saints, I got to write to you about it. For I know the foreignness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them. I bragged about you to Macedonia that you guys were ready a year ago. Your zeal hath provoked very many. He said, now I told Macedonia a year ago, y'all were doing this. You haven't done nothing. Keep reading. I have time. I got to speed up. Yep. You haven't done any of this. Yeah. And I'm telling you what happened to Macedonia. They had a move of the grace of God that moved on their hearts in that terrible situation. And I just told you about how bad it was. And look what happened. There's some things, though, that I learned that I'm going to share with you. What did you learn? You learned in this verse 6, he was sowing a little bit, reaps a little. He was sows a lot, which Macedonia did, reaps also a lot. Every man according as he chooses in his heart, don't let him give. Not with being full of grudge and of necessity. God loves a cheerful, hilarious giver. And God is able to make. Now, before we get to grace, what does the word all mean? All means all. Come on, y'all. Y'all can do better than that. Everything. Right? God is able to make anything in any area. So that grace could affect not only your money, it could affect your body. It could affect your family. It could affect whatever category in life, or all is not all. All means there is nothing left. When you have in this area the grace of God flowing, there is no area. He just connected giving even to healing. Not that you buy it. That's not what I'm talking about. But he's talking about, praise God, there is something about. Now, Jesus said it another way. Okay, where a man's treasure is, where his heart is. Where's the man's heart? Glory to God. These people did it despite the most terrible circumstances. Just like, praise God. I know what I'm talking about because I've been there.
Preach it, brother.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. I've been here. I know about this. The clock don't give me time to give you my background. I know about this. Glory to God. So Paul saw what happened in Macedonia. Now let me give you another one. Turn to Acts chapter 4. Thank you, Jesus. I said, thank you, Jesus. I said, thank you, Jesus. Well, Acts chapter 4, again, to save time, you know the story, right? Okay, after the man gets healed, the gate beautiful and all of that, they get caught on the carpet, they get put in prison for a little bit. Then they said, now you stop preaching or teaching anymore in this name of Jesus. If you do, we will kill you. They got together and somebody got out the second psalm, because there's no way you can have 8,000 plus people all read the same thing. They got out the scripture and they read the second psalm. Okay, somebody read it out loud. And then they began to pray. What happened? Praise God. Verse 32. And the multitude of them that believed were one heart, one soul. Neither said any of them that all of the things which he possessed was his own, but he had all things common. And with great power, Dudamis gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great, megas, massive, mighty outpouring of grace was upon every one of them. Neither was there any among them that lacked. Everybody got blessed financially. Everybody. Now think about this, because we need to read the Bible like we do the newspaper, because we believe the newspaper. We kind of read the Bible some kind of fairy tale thing. Think about, first of all, this couldn't have happened in a day or two. You got 8,000 plus people. We know that. How many people got saved and all that kind of stuff. We know it's over 8,000 people. It's a multitude, right? How long will it take for you to sell your house? All these people. So, I mean, this thing went on. You have a move of the grace of God that's constant, that's going on for a long period of time.
Yes, sir.
Now, I'm sure many of you have given some sacrificial offers, for example, to KCM. But how many of you have given your house?
Come on.
I want you to think about what this said here. These people sold their lands, they sold their houses to give to strangers, not knowing what they're going to get. But how could people's heart be like that? Because great grace changed it. Grace himself. In fact, grace is who changed your heart. Amen. Softened your heart. Moved you to do many things. Praise God. And so guess what happened? Nobody lacked. They shared. People then are no different than people now. Only difference between people then and now is the technology. That's the only difference between us and them. They're still the same. Praise God. I deal with people all over the world. I found out whatever their background, color, creed, race, they're all the same. They all have the same needs. They all want the same thing. They all act the same way if they ain't saved. I ain't going to talk about the saves. I'm going to leave that one alone. Hallelujah. I found there ain't no difference between them. Praise God. Ain't no difference between black folks and white folks and red folks and yellow folks and brown folks. There ain't no difference except that my kind just looks prettier. That's all. Y'all got to sit on the beach, man. Y'all got to.
I understand.
Yeah, you got to brown on up a little bit. And then you got a tan. Yeah, you look like Butler now, man. I
mean,
like,
that's all I'm looking for.
Turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. I got to wrap up because they only got me a few minutes left. Amen. And I'm obedient. I'm an obedient man. They tell me X, Y, Z time. That's what they're going to get. Yes, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. 1 Peter chapter 5. Amen. Notice verse 10. This is the other place where you have all in front of grace. But the God of all grace, who have called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you complete, establish, strengthen, and settle you. And I wish I had some time to break that down. Glory to God. Now, there are some things you need to do. Write this down and I'll close. There are some things you need to live this life of faith now. So I just have to pull a plug here. First of all, number one, you start with a healthy respect for a dedication to the word. You start with a healthy respect for and a dedication to the word. That's got to be above all else. Okay, amen. Number two, you need to come to church often. Often. That's what he told us to do. You'll learn a lot if you do. And you'll make new friends. I can tell you there are a lot of lonely people out here. They are lonely. And they're sitting at home watching a computer. I'm not talking about those who have no other choice than that. That's not who I'm talking about then. I'm talking about those who have choices and can make the move. Jesus said that there are, in a parable of the sower, there are five tools Satan uses against the believer to stop the miracle action power of the word. Affliction, persecution, cares of the world, deceitfulness of riches, number five, lust of other things. That's the flesh. I'm tired. I want to sit here and drink my coffee. I'm getting some word. Well, you're not bringing your part of the spirit. You're having no fellowship. You're not helping anybody else. That is the most selfish statement. I'm going to leave that alone, too. Amen. Some people just turned me off on the computer right now. Just turned it off. Number three, you got to have daily prayer and meditation and confession of the word. Daily, every morning. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying in tongues is the doorway into the next level of spiritual activity. Number four, you need to grow in your faith. Your faith can grow exceedingly. I don't have time to get into it. Praise God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And so, but the big thing is, I want you to know, understand what grace really is. Brother Copeland talked about a book I wrote on it. Praise God. Grace is a person. This is his time. It's his dispensation. He moves by faith. That's how you're moving. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Praise God. He is the anointing. He is the power. He is the whole nine yards out here. It's his time. Like it was with the Father. Like it is with the Son. Hallelujah. There are three that bear witness on earth. The Spirit. Glory to God. Let's stand up. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands, praise God. I teach my people, amen. When we pray, we ask God to give us revelation, understanding, amen. What did your mama tell you to do when somebody gave you something? She said, say thank you, right? Let's lift our hands and thank God for the word today. Lord, we thank you for the word. We give you praise and glory for the word. We give you honor for the word. Oh, we're so grateful for it. Thank you, Lord. And Holy Spirit, thank you for enlightening us as we ask. We give you praise, glory, in the authority of Jesus. Anybody get anything out of this today? Praise his holy name. Amen. Praise God. Oh, I got one more thing to do. That's right. Please be seated. Just came to my mind. Praise the Lord. It's offering time. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Don't just reach in your purse. Bow your head. Close your eyes. Ask the Spirit of grace. Is there anything special he wants you to do? Maybe not. Amen. But praise God. First, the very first faith action is hearing. See if the Holy Spirit gives you something. If not, praise God, then you're on your own. But then listen to the Holy Ghost. I can tell you stories of times I did. Those are the miraculous ones. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, then go ahead and praise God and get ready. They're going to come out here in just a moment. Somebody is. Praise God. I guess they thought I wasn't going to do it on time, I guess. No. Don't tempt me to keep preaching now, because I will open that Bible and y'all be here another hour, right? So, I mean, I easily go 2 hours. You know, I was in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, ministering at a church in Kuala Lumpur. So I ministered for an hour. I still got a couple minutes. I was ministering for an hour, and they said, "We know who you are. You're a Bible teacher." He said, "Give us another hour." So I did. They said, "We know who you are, and we know you got more. Give us 3 hours." They made me preach 6 hours. Well, when grace is on you, baby, you know, you can run through a troop. Boy, when that anointing lift. Somebody carry me upstairs. I'd be like, "My God, oh my." So don't tempt me now. Don't tempt me now, because trust me, I got plenty.
There you go.
I got plenty. Are you listening to me? All right, praise God. Y'all coming out here or what? Or y'all want me to do this? There you are. Well, let's stand up, praise God. Amen. When we give offerings unto God Almighty, we'll stand for a man. The president will walk in the room, we get up. We're doing something for God Almighty. We ought to stand and lift our offering to the great high priest. And I now turn it over to you to tell them what to do.